And welcome everybody to episode 41 of Digesting Cinema with Aaron and Christina. I'm your host, Aaron, and as always, I'm joined by my fellow host, Christina, and we are here this week to break down a title that contains the full name of a character. We chose Speed Racer. That is both what he is and his name, so it does count. Released in 2008, directed by the Wachowskis, starring Emile Hirsch, John Goodman, and many, many others, including a monkey or chimpanzee. But before we go any further with that, let me go over to a person who I got to see in person. So I will say she is a person, can confirm, have even hugged once, at least once, maybe more. Christina, how are you doing from your weekend with Aaron?
I am so tired. It was such a fun weekend, but I am not in college anymore, and we very much acted like we were, and your girl cannot hang because there were definitely parts where I was crankpot up, like I hit a wall and needed a break.
Yep. But and it is fun. It was fun, and we are recording a little bit late this week, so I do understand that, so it might be kind of a different kind of release this week, a little bit closer together. For those who are maybe listening either out of order or at a different time or just not sure what we're referring to, we did go to the Schmodown, which Christina is a part of, in Brooklyn, New York. I don't even remember the name. Revolver Theater, I think it was. Roulette Theater. I don't know. I just followed Anthony's very tall, handsome husband, Anthony, who had to hear about that all weekend from many of the people within the trip. It was a great weekend. Great to meet you as well as Anthony. Love to be back in D.C. where I can't control if, you know, an ambulance drives by. So I am back home in D.C. I was on the road for a few weeks. And it's good to be back home. The familiar tones. Great weekend. Great to meet Melissa, Jake, Bill, Missy, David Nishimoto. Special shout out to him, you know, because he's a big fan of me. Also, Andrew Barr. Many, many others. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody.
Peggy.
I'm sorry, Peggy. You were so busy. It was hard to remember even seeing you. But it was great to see everybody. Thomas Harper, my best friend, three champs. I'll see you for dinner soon, my friend. But anyways, enough about my life. We're here to talk about Speed Racer. Before we go much further in, our first rating section, the IMDb rating section, which we can only do once we hear the IMDb synopsis from Christina.
Young driver Speed Racer aspires to be champion of the racing world with the help of his family and his high-tech Mach 5 automobile.
Wow.
That's like a hard two, maybe one and a half.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 1.5. Champion of the racing world, that can be interpreted a lot of ways. Just jumping right into it. This movie, it appears the whole world, its economy, like its socioeconomic status is based upon racing. Am I wrong there with kind of...
I don't know if it's the whole world, but it's clearly like the world he's involved in.
Seems like a large amount of the... Yeah, definitely the world he's... So, you know, champion of the racing world, I mean, he wants to make it about racing again because that's kind of a big part of the plot is how corporations have taken over racing. And that's kind of a little bit... I think ahead of its time with how sports have been taken over by big businesses also in a way. So, you know, interesting there. But either way, 1.5 out of 5 for the IMDb.
Because it's where, much more than this.
Yeah. So first and foremost, where do you want to kind of start with this
movie? Go ahead. We should talk about just the cinematography and the way the movie was shot. Because I think if it wasn't shot the way this was, this movie's no good. I think if you just made this the movie and you kept the plot the way it was and this just looked like a normal, regular movie, this loses all the pizzazz, it loses all the fun, it loses everything that's interesting about it, and it just makes it not good.
Yeah, the plot definitely is not what you come to this movie for. Plots are right, but it's definitely the art direction. A lot of times movies that are adapted from cartoons to live action, they're like, it's shot like a cartoon. This really was shot like a cartoon where it's like either the background's moving or the characters are moving. Nothing's ever still in the movie. Kind of how the characters come in and out of shots, like when it's the big heads like floating across the screen.
Yes.
I love that. I thought the combat was really interesting because it was Matrix, but with like cartoon effects added to it. And I mean, one thing that is one of the first things that I kind of came to after watching the movie is I was like, this movie was very consistent with its tone throughout. It started as a childlike movie, and I believe childlike movie and not a child's movie necessarily, albeit that as well. I think if this was more of just a child's movie, it would have been like a Spy Kids kind of movie throughout. This had a lot of pretty adult themes weaved into it, adult jokes while still through the guise of childlike vision. And so I don't think this movie is completely made for kids, but at the same point, I wish I saw this when I was a kid. That was one of the other things I came out of this movie wishing I would have saw this when I was younger, because it would have been one of my favorite movies.
Oh, this is definitely like, if I was a little kid when this came out, I would have been obsessed with it. I mean, just the, like the colors alone, I just love like all the racing scenes, because it's like, sometimes is the background a cartoon? Is the background computer generated? And they just go through it like so seamlessly. And I love like the comic book aspects where it's like they're outlined and it's like the pow, the wham, but not like the corny, the way Scott Pilgrim did it. I'm not a Scott Pilgrim fan, and I just feel like this just did a much better job of the
cartoon. So you like this book. So this didn't remind you of Scott Pilgrim?
It did, and I think it did it better because I didn't like Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim just annoyed me. I think maybe I can't appreciate it just because the whole movie just sucks. But
yeah, I mean, Scott Pilgrim is it's very interesting. Just, I think that if I would have been a kid watching Speed Racer and grown with it, you can grow with that movie. You can come back to it and watch it and see it for like many aspects as you grow up and be like, oh, that's really clever how they kind of weaved in like the, you know, this or that. And while with Scott Pilgrim, I loved Scott Pilgrim when I was younger. I watched it when I was younger. I kind of idolized it a little bit when I was younger. And as I've grown up, like, I don't think it's this self-aware movie making fun of the things that it, I think it's supporting a lot of things that, frankly, a lot of people I've seen who like that movie don't get, are not supposed to be framed as kind of positive. So it's, while Speed Racer you'd think would be the one to not age well as you get older, Speed Racer, it seems that everybody I've talked to at this point loves Speed Racer. And I know it did terrible when it came out. I'm not sure if it was a complete flop where it didn't even make its budget back, but its budget had to be pretty high also. So I'm not sure if it did. I mean, there was a ton of this movie that was setting up for a sequel that never happened, which is too bad now. It would be so cool to see a sequel. Still to this day, I would watch a sequel and be very excited about it. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that of these two, Scott Pilgrim, which came out after Speed Racer, and I do believe stole a lot of, borrowed, I guess you could say, a lot of aspects that Speed Racer used, because it was two different directors here, Wachowskis and then Edgar Wright, sorry, who directed Scott Pilgrim. So I think a lot of people would say they preferred Scott Pilgrim. And budget was $120 million. When I compare that to the B-movie that probably came out around the same time as this, I think they came out around the same year. This was done for half of that budget. And I also just kind of want to go back to another thing you kind of brought up earlier, which was when it's adapted from like a comic book or animated, how sometimes it's really kind of strange or weird or awkward. And I think that while using a lot of CG in the backgrounds, the floors were CG, everything was CG, you know, it was done much better than a prequel trilogy did it. I believed. And also I'm glad that with this movie, they didn't choose to go with CG characters. I'm glad they chose to go with a live action cast, because I think if they would have tried like the Polar Express approach, this movie just wouldn't have worked at all also. So I thought John Goodman was great. Susan Sarandon as the parents, they were great. I thought all the characters were great except Squirtle or Spritel or Spritel.
Spritel? You didn't like Spritel?
No, I did not like Spritel. Couldn't stand Spritel. Thought Spritel was so annoying. And, you know, I don't care. I have not seen the anime ever or the cartoon, whatever. I have not ever seen it. So I'm going into this judging the movie. So I don't care if he was annoying in the cartoon. They should have changed that. If he wasn't, they screwed it up. Either way, I didn't like that actor. Maybe if a different kid was that character, I would have liked him more. But I did not like that actor. I thought
you don't like Jake Lloyd. You don't like this guy. I don't think you like children actors.
I like children actors.
How do you
feel
about Haley Joel Osment? Was The Sixth Sense annoying to you?
I mean, I loved Haley Joel Osment. A revelation. Jacob Tremblay in Room? Incredible. I like kids. That's not good out of context, but in the context of this podcast, that's okay to say. And I'll stand by it. I can't think of any other kid performances right now I loved, but I just saw the new A24 movie Lamb, and that's about a half lamb, half child. I like that performance. Yeah, the kid had a lamb head, but I liked it. That's
well,
a real movie.
You're wrong
that's
about
Spritel. That's
Spritel
a real movie.
Is the comic relief. Spritel is the hero of this film. They throw freaking like monkey shit at somebody. Like,
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
he's iconic.
I love the monkey. What was the monkey's name?
Dude, I don't even remember the monkey's
name. I mean, it's okay.
Did they actually even call him by his name?
I don't know, but he did. Did you notice the point when he was wearing pajamas with human faces on it? Pretty funny. Very funny. I really appreciate that. The monkey shit part was great as well. Another thing I'd like to, did you, well, actually we'll save the twist for a little bit. Let's go to maybe the racing. What kind of stood out about that a little bit?
I mean, I guess before we get into the actual races, we can talk about like this whole family is obsessed with racing. So yes,
the whole world.
And their last name is Racer. So like his name is Racer, comma Speed, like Speed Racer. Yep. We have Spritel Racer. There's an older brother named Rex Racer. I do appreciate that it's just mom and pops. So yes, we don't actually know their name. But Pops owns Racer Motors. So he makes all of the cars that his children use to race. You know, like
including the Mach 5.
Including the Mach 5. I don't know who the other guy is that, I guess he's like the uncle or the cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. Isn't that Sparky or whatever? Like they just, he's just there. I don't think he's a sibling. I think he's.
I'll be honest. At first watch, I had trouble keeping track of a lot of the names other than Spritel.
Yeah, Sparky, I don't know his relation, but he just kind of works for the company, so I don't know if he's a family member or just an employee, but he's like basically the pit boss. Mm-hmm. And so not they build race cars, they race them, but like from a very early age we see that Speed is like literally just obsessed. Like even all the kids are like, he's just so dumb because he doesn't actually do anything in school, all he wants to do is race. And he idolizes his older brother, and it is like, it's so cute but so painful to just see like the admiration he has for him because he winds up losing his brother.
Yeah, and I mean, I do know there was a once upon a time where I was that little brother idolizing my big brother. So again, that's something that as a kid I would have probably responded to a lot more emotionally. I think this is a very underrated brother movie as well, which I, you know, I think is kind of a genre that there's a surprising amount of kind of films to kind of relate to. I'm sure there is with Sisterhood too, but there's a lot of kind of good brother movies, and I would put that in this category also.
Rex, you know, is this big racer, and then we find out that he kind of gets involved with, he goes pro essentially, but he gets involved with like all the dirty corporations. And from an outside perspective, it looks like he's the asshole and that he's a dirty racer, and like his name kind of gets shamed, and Speed keeps getting in fights in school, but then he gets into this horrible crash that like, that whole scene was just to have the whole family sitting there watching his race. I mean, Susan Sarandon, she drops the glass. Mm-hmm. And then you cut to the part where like Speed is just sobbing, like as a child, just, I mean, it is, the first parts of this movie are very intense because it's like, you just fall in love with this brother relationship. Yep. You know, he brings him out on the track and lets him sit on his lap and lets him drive. And it's like this cute thing. And then you find out that like, then you think, oh my God, Rex is this huge asshole. Like he turns into like maybe the villain. Mm-hmm. And then you lose him. And then you just see like Speed's whole world comes crashing down. And it's like, you know, the movie could have been that he never becomes a racer, but it's really like, it just furthers his drive even more to like just become further obsessed with it.
Yeah. And the crashes are like very explosive in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, throughout. It's just like the way the movement is of everything, from how the characters move at times to definitely how the cars move and everything. It's just very cartoon like, and I appreciate that. And it does start out intense, but it's still intense in like a kid morning show kind of way. It's like I could see a morning show starting with, you know, sometimes those, they start kind of intense like that. So I didn't think that was like out of the tone of the movie. I thought it really worked within the movie. Rex, Racer X, who would have saw that coming later, you know, but who knows, we'll get into that. I have a theory. I think they might be the same person.
My God. I had a whole weekend of live theories. It's like,
yeah, it's even worse in person.
It is even worse in person. So yeah, so basically we understand that like this whole family's obsessed. They're all mourning the loss of Rex. But, you know, Racer's got his BFF/girlfriend, Trixie, who, like, I mean, is this Pete Christina Ricci? I don't know. This might be.
To put Christina Ricci in a cartoon movie is just perfect anyways, because she is a, like, a cartoon almost. Like, her just looks like, it's just like, they really did a good job, I think, with a lot of the cast. And, yeah, this is close to peak Christina Ricci, for sure. And, yeah, good for Emil Hirsch.
Yeah, they were just so precious together. But so I do love when he was doing the one race and he was like this close to beating his brother's record and then purposely slowed off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, that was really special. But then he gets noticed by corporations. And this is another part. I can't believe you don't like Spritel. The part where like the airplane comes out, and they think it's an earthquake, and he's like, "We need to leave. The kitchen's
He was just so annoying. He was so annoying.
It's so good. It is so good.
He's one of the only things about this movie that truly didn't work, and I blame for the failure of this movie. By the way, a $93.9 million box office for a $120 million budget, that's without marketing. It's probably close to $200 million, probably about over $100 million loss here.
Cool. And you're blaming it all on Spritol.
It's all on Spritol. Otherwise, what else could you blame it on? This movie's pretty
great. The fact that, like, who cares about Speed Racer?
Hey, rude, first of all.
In 2008, were you like, man, you know what I could really use? Freaking Speed Racer.
No, I was 19.
Was Speed Racer even like a 90s, 80s, 90s childhood cartoon?
I think, like, it was on Cartoon Network.
I think it came out a little bit too late, though. I think if you really wanted to market it, you probably should have done it in the early 90s. So, you know, people that watched the cartoon would want to go watch the movie.
So what you're telling me is that Speed Racer came out a little too slowly.
Sometimes IMDb makes no sense with how they do their cast. Like, why are the announcers up here? Like, you had like two lines. The announcers.
Like, I know one of the cameos is by Richard Roundtree, Shaft, who's a complicated man.
Like, the announcers are up there before Spritol is. So it's like,
well, I support that. Spritol should be at the damn bottom. Fucking piece of shit. Beat his ass.
All right. So after we have the epic earthquake scene, we meet Royalton, who is the corporate sponsor that's taking over racing. And we're like, obviously this guy's up to something. Like, this is too good to be true. He wants to show everybody the transponder and takes the whole family to like the factory, and it's this whole thing. But then we get like also like the mob involved, and like the Asian mob kind of low key.
Yeah, and then you haven't mentioned my favorite character, Inspector Detector. I think he's played by, is it Benno Fuhrman? I believe. I've never seen this guy before, but I really liked Inspector Detector also, who I think was underused in this movie. But yeah, there's the mob involved. There's corporate greed. It's just got everything. It's introducing you to the cruel adult world. This is the adult gritty aspect of the movie. The businesses, the corporations, the corruption. The reveal, you know, when Speed Racer's hearing from the big businessman about everything is already decided. It's just like, it's like the kid learning wrestling's not real. It's just everything's scripted. And it's just like, he's like, I've seen so many people before you come before me and have the same reaction. And it's just like, it's like the kid growing up and realizing nothing they believed in was real, which in this case is racing.
Yeah, because that was like the big thing, is that everything's rigged, and it's been rigged not even recently, like the last 50 years. Like, this is, they've just been like taking over everything.
Yeah, and Royalton, played by Roger Allen. Now, he was great, by the way. Just like evil British swarmy guy. Perfect.
So we eventually figure out that there's like shady shit going on, and then we have this like mysterious racer that we like can't see his face. And now I guess we can go into your theory, because we'll introduce Racer X into it. But then Racer X wound up like being a good guy.
Yeah, Racer X might be Rex. That's my theory.
Well, yeah, but like that was also implied in the movie, because at one point Speed literally says, "Are you Rex?"
Mm-hmm.
And he takes off his helmet, and he's like not the same actor, and he's like, "No, I'm not Rex. Rex really did die." But also, like, did he? And you just got reconstructive surgery, because I just feel like
I think that was the sequel, was going to be like the quest for. I think, unfortunately, sometimes in Hollywood, I feel like what happens is movies, they don't expect to get sequels. They don't set up the sequel, and then they're like, "Shit, what do? We have to make a sequel. We just fucking killed it." And then movies are like, "Ah, this is a Speed Race." Like, this is going to be a new franchise for the 21st century Speed Racer. Like, we're going to set up shit here. And then they're like, "You lost us $130 million, Wachowskis." No, you're not. They're like, "Fuck. Well, we had." So it was like, I think
that was just like Super Mario Brothers at the very end. Like, Daisy needed their help.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Oh my God. Super Mario Brothers 2 or Speed Racer 2? Which one would you rather see? Go. 1, 2, 3. Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh no, Speed Racer 2.
Oh, too slow. Okay. That's the last time I make the too slow pun. Can we talk about the racing now?
Yes, you can talk about the racing now.
That was one of the nice surprises of this movie, because I was just expecting it to be different kind of racetracks and just the same kind of racing, like left turn, left turn, left turn, like really fast. But I mean, they're going all over the place. There's loops, they're upside down, they're flipping, there's weapons involved.
They can jump and stuff.
Yeah, they can jump and spin. And specifically the scene in the desert to me looked like straight. I don't know if you've even seen the new Mad Max or not, Fury Road. It looked a lot like that though. And I just think I often kind of talk about this, but I wonder how much of this movie kind of influenced a lot of movies to come out after it. And just, you wouldn't think off the bat Speed Racer influenced Mad Max, but honestly, you just see there's aspects of it you see in that. And just, I thought it was, again, it was so cool how the movie's never holding still. Speed Racer should never be still. It should never be slow. It should never not be kinetic. And either the background's moving or the characters are moving at all points in the movie. There's not a point in the movie where that's not happening. And I just thought that could easily get overwhelming, tiring, headache inducing. And in this, it works like so well. So,
I enjoyed it and I loved it because it was like, and that's why I loved like the cartoon aspect, because if they made this so literal, mm-hmm. It's just basically like Fast and Furious. But yeah, like, because you let it be cartoony, we can suspend belief and believe that these cars are doing corkscrews and mm-hmm. that they can jump over each other and they can flip around. And that was cool to watch because otherwise it would have just been stupid racing.
Yeah. Like when the spikes came out, I just got kind of flashbacks to Little Rascals, the go-kart scene at the end when the spikes are coming out and stuff. It was like that in the future. It was so great. And it's like, even though there are these huge explosions, everybody was fine after them. Like, again, it's not gonna get that crazy dark, even though it kind of did a couple times with Brother at the beginning. For the most part, it's kept light towards like, yes, these are giant explosions that they should be incinerated in, but no, yeah, it's just
only,
not.
We only killed the one guy, or yeah, did we?
Right. And that's like the little kid Disney thing where it's like, we can have one or two deaths, but it can't turn to Death Race here. So,
I mean, they were so cute that they literally like wouldn't even let Speed and Trixie kiss until like the very end. And mm-hmm. I loved, again, Spritel. This is for everyone that's been inoculated, or at least people that aren't afraid of cooties. They're about to kiss.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Spritel. I get it. Little kids hate kissing. Thank you for being the little kid.
This is a kid movie.
Right. And you're like, he's the only one acting like a kid. Grow up, Spritel. Everybody else
is the only kid in the movie.
He's so annoying. This movie would be better without him, or if something happened to him at some point. Either way. But that's kind of dark. Where do we kind of want to go next with this?
Should we talk about the relationship that Speed has with his dad? Yeah, because they do get into a really big fight, and it mirrors a fight that we see earlier where Rex gets into a fight with Pops, and Pops basically is like, if you leave, you're not coming back. And that was how he left his relationship with his son. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nice heart-to-heart that they had, where his dad realizes that he regrets everything that happened with his oldest son, and you know, he doesn't want it to happen with Speed. And I think, I mean, obviously we're not parents, but I think that is a hard thing that I would imagine parents go through, is you have to know that at some point your kid grows up and your kid leaves your house and your kid is going to make their own decisions and you're not in charge of anything they say or do anymore. That has to be difficult when you have raised this human being to be in your house. But part of you being a successful parent is that they can leave the house, but now, you know, you just have to trust that they're going to turn out to be okay. And they're going to make decisions that aren't going to ruin their life. And so I feel like it was a little bit of that.
Yeah. Especially when it's just like Speed says later or earlier or later in the movie, Body's like, we see you corporations as the devil. It's like when you can see your kid heading towards like the ultimate path of like what you feel like is the wrong way. It's hard to just sit back and be like, they're making their own decisions. It's easy to say that when you kind of agree with it, or it's kind of right. Something like you're okay. But it's like, what about when it's not? Is that still applying? I mean, it's just another example of a really adult theme handled really well in this movie, to where, you know, kids aren't going to get bored by it. But as you get older, if you watch it, you kind of take it in a much different way, as we're kind of getting closer to the age of parenting, maybe. So,
right. And we think that, like, you know, our parents went through this with us recently, of like coming to terms with the fact of like, yeah, you're my parents and you raised me and thank you for that. But I'm also 33 years old and this is my life now and I can do whatever I want now. And if you don't like it, that's unfortunately, that's your problem, because I'm a grown up and I can make my own decisions. And that was just something that I think they were struggling with, of like, I know that you're going to leave the house and you're going to make your decisions with racing, but you need to know that you are more important to me than racing is. And like, I didn't get that point across to your brother, and you need to know that that point is coming across.
And it's just, you know, it's kind of just jump into when like Speed is starting to think about joining with the corporation. They're just like, if you don't, we'll just bury your entire company. We'll sue you. Like, we'll ruin your name.
Right.
Anyways, we'll frame you. It's just like, it doesn't matter. Either you come with us or you don't. And, you know, it's just like, it makes nothing real when Speed wins. Like, that wasn't a real win, he finds out. And it's just like, I mean, it's just complete disillusionment of like something you grew up idolizing. And that's just like a really, that's the clever part. The rest of the plot, I feel like, isn't that great, honestly. And it's, you are here kind of for the racing, for the atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of figure out that like Rex really wasn't the bad guy, that he was trying to like bring down like the mob and the corporations. And, it wasn't working. And then Speed tries to team up with Racer X, and like he gets frustrated. And he's like, you know, this isn't ever going to change. Like, we're not capable of changing this. My brother tried to do it. It didn't work, you know? And that's like, I mean, there's no way Racer X isn't Rex, right?
It has. Racer X is Rex. There's that. I don't know if I can even take credit for that being my theory. That is like, it's almost like, I don't care if he took off his mask, that reconstructive surgery. That is pretty easy.
Yeah, it does. But like, it also doesn't make sense to me, like, why that wouldn't have just been revealed in the movie.
Because sequel. I really think that they wanted that to be the crux of the sequel. Was like the discovery.
But it's like, it's so stupid because we already know that. Like, I don't know if they were just saying like, oh, it's too predictable for them to be the same person, so we'll save it for the next movie. But like,
exactly.
You're the same person. Speed was like, you drive just like my brother. You know our secret spot. Like, it literally doesn't make sense for him not to be Rex.
I think they had a trilogy planned here. And the second one was going to be like the discovery of the identity of the brother. And the third one would have been like the coming together of the family, rejoining of the family, and like family prospering over corporation. That would be my guess. But yeah, it's still a theory. So chalk it up with my Blair Witch Project. That's one of my better theories, I think, because I think it sticks. I think Racer X is Rex.
All right, so then we get to the point where Speed's basically, like, ready to leave racing. This is not super plot-heavy. It's basically a lot of racing, cool
fight scenes. And then thinking about leaving racing.
And then the one chick comes back with, like, the invitation. They're like, you can go in the Grand Prix. And then there was, like, the whole, like, mafioso scene. Like, we need to take out Speed Racer. I'd prefer him to be gone in the locker room. And, like, magically, he still shows up at the race. No. But you're in the Grand Prix, and it's, like, you know, all the best racers in the world. And then we find out the best racer who is destined for the Hall of Fame cheats, uses a spear hook. I loved this part because Spritel, of course, catches it. You dirty cheater. You're using a spear hook. And then Speed like flips it up into the camera so like everybody can see it, which I was like, that's just good. That's just smart.
Good, wholesome, heroic action here to make sure
everybody knows. Then it's like, oh my gosh, his car can't start. And then his mom and pops are, you know, nervous about it. Everybody's freaking out. And then all he hears is, you know, his brother's voice, aka Racer X. I'm just like, what does the car want? What does she want? Give her what she needs. Give it to her good. And then he finally figures out how to start it.
Yeah, he figures out how to start the car and gives it to her good. And he's off to the races.
But yeah, I loved the race scenes. I loved the fight scenes. I think this movie was well casted.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun movie. And this is the second time I've watched it. Both times I have been an adult.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I was younger, especially if I was like a little boy, like into racing, I mean, this would have been my obsession.
I mean, this is as close as we've ever gotten to a Mario Kart movie. For sure. Just like how it is whimsical. And I still enjoyed it as an adult. But this is like a top 10 movie of movies I wish I would have saw when I was younger. But yeah. Even if I would have saw it when it came out, I was still too old to fully have enjoyed it.
Oh, no. I would have hated this as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. I was 19.
There's a reason I didn't watch it when it came out because I was like 19 or 20 and I didn't
care. But if I was 9 or so, I mean, it's like some of the movies I love from then are Batman and Robin, which is, I know, horrible. But I saw it when I was 9. I saw it when you were supposed to see it.
So it's great.
Right. And that's like a shitty kids movie. This is a good kids movie. So I can imagine seeing that. It reminded me of a lot of different movies for sure. It did set up kind of for the sequel towards the end. And I think that's why we didn't find out Racer X's true identity until the next movie. But anything else you kind of want to cover on? This is kind of a speedier review, but it's a little bit more bare bones when it comes to the plot.
Yeah, it's a simple movie.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can say to like how pretty, I mean, the visuals are beautiful. I mean, mm-hmm. how yeah, story, you know?
Exactly. They are. And other than Spritel sucking, the rest of the movie's great. So
Spritel is great. That's a fucking bad take.
That's a fucking bad take. That's a fucking bad take. You know what? I don't like that take.
Trying to be Spritel right now? Or are you making fun of me? Because
no, I'm making fun of you. I was making fun of you. How does it feel for me to take down one of your heroes? It's been you the whole year taking down my heroes. It's finally my chance in the sun.
Listen, just because I ragged on you a little bit over the weekend, it wasn't my fault that you dressed poorly, but anyway.
Oh, the pictures would beg to differ. So
you stopped trolling me and dressed appropriately.
I was late for substitute teaching. Sorry, I came right from art class. And we're going to get to the ratings section, final thoughts section before we get into our recommendations for next week, which is movie set in the UK. I'll go first on this one, if that's all right with you. I did enjoy this movie. I definitely was never bored. I found most of the characters very good, except for one, which I'll let everybody at home try to guess who that is. So that's pretty good. I like that allowed me the theory of Racer X being Speed Racer's brother. You can go ahead and tell other people that theory if you want.
I don't really feel like that's an original theory to just to interrupt you.
No, it makes way too much sense. You're right. It's definitely not my theory. But yeah, overall, solid movie. I heard a lot about this movie going into it, and so I did have a little bit of high expectations, but it lived up to those, frankly. The plot, not great. I didn't come to this for a plot. And anybody who's really dinging this movie hugely for the plot needs to relax, have a little more fun. I'm going to give this movie a 3.5 out of 5 stars. And I think timing is everything in this life, as we all know. If I saw this at a different time in my life, it's probably a 4.5 out of 5. Still, 3.5 out of 5 stars as a 32-year-old adult. I think that's pretty great for this movie. I'm okay with there not being a sequel, but it also would be something, if they announced a sequel even now, I'd be excited to see it. And I think that they could still pull it off. So I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5, though. Solid, solid movie. Maybe I'm being a little bit of a harsh grader against the timing here, but
all right. Yeah, I think this movie is a lot of fun. I think it's visually beautiful. And I think if they didn't do it the way they did, this movie would be horrific because the plot is not that great. It's a racing movie with like mob drama, which is like, I guess you need to have some sort of drama in here because otherwise you're just racing. And like, I've seen, it's like a mix of like Cars and Fast and Furious, I guess, is Speed Racer. But yeah, so I think it's well casted. I think the acting was fine. It's just like, it doesn't like blow my hair back at all. I definitely feel like if I maybe saw this earlier, I would have liked it more. I'm going to give it a 3. I think it's an average movie. I think, you know, I wouldn't mind watching it again. I'm in no rush to. If I had children, I would definitely show them this movie. But yeah, I think 3 is a fish.
It's a fish.
Yeah.
So it's a 3.25 out of 5. I think that's a fish. So you're not speeding to go back and watch this movie.
I am not. Yeah, I'm not going to speed race my way to go watch it again.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll go ahead and mosey on over to next week. It's going to be episode 42. It is movies taking place in the UK. I do have 3 selections, pretty different movies. First one is a 1948 movie. It is available on HBO Max right now, called Red Shoes. It's about a ballerina having to choose between her career and her love for a composer. And it was described to me as having kind of a whimsical appearance to it, but some kind of dark undertones and brooding kind of conclusion to the end of it. So that got my attention, honestly. And
yeah, that's literally your whole life.
Kind of feels like me summed up. And then, Black Swan, one of my favorite movies of all time. This sounds like it could kind of be a predecessor to it. I mean, we haven't done a ton of movies from the 40s. I'm not sure if we've done any, actually. I'd have to go back and check. But either way, it'd be kind of cool to do an older movie, Red Shoes. Yesterday is the next movie I'm suggesting. I can't believe I'm suggesting this movie. I'm suggesting this movie because I'm afraid to watch it. Every time I've seen the trailer, I've gagged because I hate the premise of it. I think it looks schmaltzy. I think it looks stupid. But if I saw this movie, I would watch it completely open-minded. And I'd be very curious if I was right or wrong about kind of my preconceived notions. But I can't believe I'd ever suggest this movie.
Because yeah, I don't think you're going to like it.
I would hate. I feel like I'd hate it. So yeah. I'm not suggesting it thinking I wouldn't. But yeah. And then my last one, I'm cheating. I've seen this movie a few times, but I'd be really curious to hear your thoughts on it. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's Phantom Thread, Paul Thomas Anderson's, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, starring Daniel Day-Lewis. Just a really interesting movie about a dressmaker who starts a relationship and kind of the exploration of the relationship. That's what I'll say. So those are my three very different movies. One about a dressmaker, one about a plagiarist of the Beatles who pretends they didn't exist, who I think I'll hate that movie.
He doesn't pretend they didn't exist, but I will say I don't think you're gonna like the movie.
Yeah, it just seems like a movie very much not for me.
I mean, I can't decide if I want to pick that just to I love right. it when you rip movies apart. I find them to be funny episodes.
But. Yeah, no, this I mean, either way, I will watch it. If I like it, I'll be honest. But if I don't, I will be honest. So those are my three: Yesterday, Red Shoes, and Phantom Thread. Your suggestions, Christine.
I have two. One of them is a rom-com that I just have never seen, and it's just always been on my list of movies to watch. Little Andie MacDowell, little Hugh Grant, Four Weddings and a Funeral. Nice. And then, you know, you guys know how much I love Ewan McGregor, so let's just see if I still hate him with Trainspotting.
Well, Trainspotting, he plays a very hateable heroin addict character, so you might hate him after that movie. From your list, then it's pretty easy for me. I have not seen Four Weddings and a Funeral either. It's one that I've seen pass on TBS. We used to remember when you used to record movies on tape and you used to write like on the outside, like the four movies. Four Weddings and a Funeral was like after Stopper, My Mom Will Shoot on TNT, and we record them together. And I'd always skip over it to get to like the RoboCop or whatever. So I haven't watched this, but this was one of my brother's favorite rom-coms growing up. And I don't think I've ever heard this movie brought up from someone who's seen them be like, oh, I don't like that movie. So that's my pick for my list: Red Shoes, Yesterday, or Phantom Thread.
Definitely not doing Phantom Thread. So now it's do I pick something that I think we're both going to actually like, or do I want to do an episode where you go off the fucking rails and just like hate life?
Mm-hmm. It's tough to decide. And then it is tough to decide.
No, let's keep it light. I'll go Red Shoes.
Ooh, okay. This makes it much harder because there's no way I was going to pick Yesterday after your reaction of me bringing it up. I know I'm never going to watch Yesterday. That was the chance. That was its chance. I
genuinely don't think you're going to like it. And it's just going to be, it's going to be so much of you yelling.
I'm just never going to watch it. I've decided, like, that was the chance right there.
We'll talk after the movie and I can fill you in if you'd like, after the podcast, I'll fill you in.
Yeah, fair enough. This is tough. We got 1948 movie versus like a 1994 movie, I believe, probably. Yeah, are you feeling it? So do you feel we've done too many rom-coms this year or not?
No, we've never done enough rom-coms, just so we're clear. I don't know.
Right, I understand. I'm not sure. I feel like we've done a few. I don't think we've done any. Have we done any movies that revolve around dancing? I mean, Chicago would be the closest thing, I would think.
Yeah, probably just Chicago, but everything else.
I would.
Pretty Funny Girl, a little.
Yeah, a little bit. So I'm really interested in Red Shoes. It has me intrigued. I guess, what is your pitch for Four Weddings and a Funeral? Your final.
I just have always wanted to watch it.
And is there any?
But I still can. Maybe it won't be as interesting to talk about.
I feel like at some point, both you and I will find a way in our own personal lives to have watched Four Weddings and a Funeral. I'm not sure if we're going to just be flipping through and one day put on the 1948 Red Shoes.
I think we should do Red Shoes because I used to be a dancer. So maybe I will like.
Oh, this. Very cool.
I was a former ballerina back in the day.
Right on. And I know someone in my life who is a former ballerina as well. So maybe I'll
someone
get
someone in your life that might want to, you know, maybe be on the show.
Maybe she'll be on the show. I might have to ask her right after this. So it'd be pretty challenging first movie to give her a 1948. Like that'd be a pretty rough, like, hey, you've never talked about movies on a podcast. Talk about this movie you've never seen from 1948 that revolves around dancing. And don't just talk about the dancing, by the way. We'll talk about all this off camera. Going into this week, Christina of the Stars, you guys are in last place.
We are in dead last.
16 points.
We have been mathematically eliminated a long time ago.
You have 16 more points than I do as a team.
I think I've actually scored more points in my matches than my faction has a total, which is not saying much because I'm terrible.
So is there anything coming up for your faction this week? I think there's a Damon match, right?
The Damon match is coming up. Well, I think by the time this airs, the Damon match would have already aired. And then Janine is still left in the singles tournament.
Janine, the last hope.
So Janine is our last hope. And if Alex pulls out the win, Alex is our last hope as far as just getting points. But it looks like we are in last place currently. But listen, the way I look at it, and I got to speak to Christian about this briefly, is, you know, at the end of the day, people talk about who's in first place and people talk about who's in last place. So at the end of the day, people are going to be talking about the stars. It's going to be coming up a lot next season of being like, you know, can Roxy pull her team from last place out of the gutter? So you know what? At least people are talking about us. Buy your merch. Stars aren't going to win the prize, but maybe your favorite faction will.
Yeah. And nothing coming up for me as always this week. Still not internet famous like Christina here, who, man, we just had to bat away so many people this weekend from you.
Oh, yeah. Been exhausting. So many people recognized me. It was so
many autographs.
Weird.
So many autographs.
Literally no one came up to me. It was actually wonderful. And I was so nervous people would.
I recognized you right away. But yeah, it was a great time in Brooklyn. If you are listening to this and you are a Schmodown fan and you're on the fence about going to a live event, I will say I was questioning it as well. And it was a great time. That's as much as I'm going to say about that. Next week, we're going to the UK, Governor. And by next week, I mean Thursday. So sorry for that accent there, but I thought it was good. For Aaron, for Christina, keep digesting cinema and keep speeding on through it.